and the things of the earth, the world was strangely new. In the light of His glory and grace. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this hour of time we can come together in this manner. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we give You praise and the glory, Lord, and for all that which You have blessed us with and all the benefit that we have received. We give You all the praise and the thanks and the glory. Father, we ask for Your presence now to guide us into the truth. Help us to understand, Lord, things that pertaining to eternal life. Things, O Lord, that You want us to line up with, Father, not just with the doctrine and teaching of the Word, but our life, Lord, in that which we understand, which we learn, Father, in our walk with You, that we may gain more understanding of what You want to do with our life, Father, and what Your Word is supposed to achieve in our life. So, Father, in Jesus' name, break down the Word of life to us. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I have here, two articles that were sent to me and to ask for comment. And one is on, it's the notes on the Lord's Supper, bracket, or Last Supper, washing of feet, and breaking of bread, bracket, communion. The other one is notes on the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then all this pertaining to that this brother here, a believer in end time message, but apparently somehow he was trying to find out more truth and understanding, came up with something which, of course, was completely wrong in both notes here. And we're going to deal with it because they pair out together. It won't take long to deal with this. But let me just go through this with you. When we deal with the Lord's Supper, we are dealing also with His death. And of course, the question is that when did He die? What day actually did He die? Was it Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday? And so on. And also the Lord's Supper, whether the Lord's Supper is the Last Supper or not. So I'm going to read it to you here because I'm going to use this one. The other one we can skip it because we will touch on it as we go along. Alright, here it says, the doctrine prevalent in some denominational churches and also in many end time churches that the breaking of bread or communion is the Lord's Supper and that it should be observed only in the evening. The Lord's Supper was the last supper or the last meal before Jesus' death, which He had with His 12 disciples. Note that Jesus had the last supper or the Passover meal one day before the feast of the Passover. Now, I want to pick up some word here as I go along to let you know. Now, here he is asking the first paragraph, he's mentioning about the doctrine that is prevalent in some denomination church and also in mental message, that the breaking of bread or communion is the Lord's Supper. Now, therefore, you have three words: breaking of bread, communion, Lord's Supper. So the thing is, he's trying to prove that the terms was wrong, which I think, of course, he himself is messed up on that case. Now, the breaking of bread and communion is not the same term, but the Lord's Supper or communion, those two words are actually meaning the same thing. We talk about communion, we talk about Lord's Supper. But the word breaking of bread is not the communion. Breaking of bread is not the Lord's Supper. Breaking of bread is a general term which means to share the meal. Alright, we will go through that as we go along later on. Then here in the third paragraph it says about John 18:2 mentions the end of the Last Supper and the supper being ended and after the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. So now he is saying the Last Supper, Lord's Supper, after that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Now we know that the Last Supper of the Lord Jesus and the Lord's Supper are two different things. Do you know that? Okay, the Last Supper is the last meal. We always see the painting Michelangelo, is that right? Michelangelo, or Da Vinci, Da Vinci. They want a painting. Now, he gathered with the disciples to eat a last meal. But the Lord's meal is not the same as the Lord's Supper. So when the Lord's Supper is a term which is different from the Last Supper. When we say Last Supper is Last Supper, it means your last meal. You understand? I will prove it to you later on as we go along. Alright? So, that's another word here. He said in one paragraph here, breaking of bread as mentioned in Acts is also mentioned by Paul as communion. Breaking of bread and communion are two different words altogether. They are not the same. Alright, let me just use this to illustrate here, so on this blank chart here, so that you can understand. Okay, here we have, first of all, you have this word, breaking. Breaking bread, or breaking of bread, or break bread. Okay, then the other word is communion. Communion. And also we have the Lord's Supper. Okay? Now, the Lord's Supper is not merely the Last Supper. It's not the same as the Last Supper of the Lord. It's not the same. Okay? Now, communion and the Lord's Supper, they are pointing to the same event. If we use it. Of course, there's always disagreement among denominations, like those who believe in the Yahshua, only use the name of Yahshua, or who keep the Sabbath, or who keep the Passover. They only have communion only once a year on the Passover day. Alright? And so they don't usually call it communion, nor do they call it the Lord's Supper. They call it the Passover. They like to say, let's have Passover in a spiritual way, not as was partaken by the Jew. You understand? So, now, the breaking of bread, because Jesus took bread and break bread, to many people, like to this brother here, he said this, therefore breaking of bread is the same as communion. No. The word breaking of bread is to take a piece, is to share a meal. Because in those days when we say, take bread, have bread, it means have meal. You understand that? Give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't mean that every day you eat bread. The word bread means food, meal. Do you understand? Huh? I can go down with you today after the service and say, come, let us break bread together. It doesn't mean I'm talking about having a communion together. I'm talking about sharing a meal together. Let us go eat. Or if I'm sitting at the restaurant and I have a nice set meal right there and you come in and I say, hey, come brother, share me. You know? Break bread with me here. He said, the word breaking of bread means to share a meal. You take a piece of bread. In those days, it's chapati or naan. A round bread, right? But today, you may have your French loaf. Or your bread pack loaf. I don't know how you call that. Was there a special name for that? Just a loaf of bread, I guess. You know, you would have, in those days, commonly people eat bread as a basic food. You take the loaf, you break it. Right? If we have a group of us at the table eating curry, gravy, with bread. You take the bread, you break it, and you pass it. This is called breaking bread. At the same time, you break it, you pass it, you are sharing it. Remember Jesus in the communion, he took the bread and he break it, and said, take it among you, right? Share it. The same thing with food, you break bread means to share it. That's called breaking a bread. So, the term has confused a whole lot of people, especially in the book of Acts. Alright, so let's go over right now. I'll show you something else here. Now, these are the terms that we see in the Bible. So you don't have to refer to the Bible unless you want to keep notes on it, which you should anyway. Now, breaking bread. Acts 2:46. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they eat their meal with gladness and singleness of heart. You remember after the day of Pentecost? If you turn to, let's turn to the whole, and look within context of the book of Acts, so that you won't get lost anyway. I think it's better that you look at, just sticking out that verse. But let's go to the book of Acts, in chapter 2. Alright? And here we have in verse chapter 2 verse, if you look at verse 41 onward, after Peter's sermon, those that believed, they were baptized, and there were about 3,000 souls, right? And then verse 42 said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Is that right? They see the word there? They continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And that over in, of course, verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meal with gladness and singleness of heart. So they took these two verses, and to say the breaking of bread is that they do it daily. They break the bread daily. That means that they have communion daily, which is a wrong interpretation. That's not what it is. Now, the word breaking of bread is a compounded meaning as well. Right? That to say right now, you know, we sing the song, break thou the bread of life, dear Lord to me, as thou did break the bread on the shore of Galilee. Remember? So the breaking of bread, the word of God is God's bread. Don't forget that. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Remember that? Yes. So breaking of bread is either you have it in literally having a meal, share your food, or the sharing of the word of God, the breaking of the word of God. The minister will come and break the word of God to the people, the believers. So that is called breaking bread. So this continued daily, we want to go in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They go from house to house, expounding the word of God. They didn't go to house to house and start to have communion. House to house have communion every day. That is not true. That's a poor interpretation of scripture. The word breaking of bread is never used to denote communion or partaking of the Lord's Supper. Do you understand that? And why they, you know, usually when we talk about fellowship, the word fellowship always have a connotation. When you sit together in fellowship, you always have a meal. Yes or no? That's why the Lord Bible says, the feast of Jehovah. What is a feast? The feast, of course, well, must be a festival. The word feast comes from the word festival in the Hebrew is a connotation. The relationship is there. The feast of Jehovah is God's joy. When He comes to you and have a festival with you, having a feast with you. Do you understand? He fellowship with you. So that's the reason why during a feast is when we have fellowship. The Paul talks about keeping the feast. You know, keeping the feast, what feast? Sincerity of the word and so on, the heart and so on. You see? So with gladness, we all share the word of God together. And at the same time, we may have a cup of tea. You know, like Jesus Christ, you know, He went to the preaching Mary, Martha's house, Lazarus' house. While He was preaching, Martha was so busy serving, you know? Remember? Sure. Coffee or served, tea maybe served, and maybe a bread or hamburger, whatever you have today. I just call that. See what I'm talking about? Breaking of bread. Feasting together, fellowship together, break the word of God, and at the same time, having a little time of eating. You see? That's what we call fellowship. Feasting. Breaking of bread. So don't have the idea that this is a word that means communion. Verse chapter, Acts 27. Chapter 20, verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, and they don't come together to have communion. But many people think they come together for communion. They come together to break the word of life. Always remember that it is not. I don't know how these people, you know, many denominations take that, and some intermessage people took that also, as if they perform it daily. And do it from house to house. Every day. You know, first day of the week to the seventh day of the week. They have it. That's not true. But now it says, first day of the week, Paul came together to break bread, take the word of God. The word of God, the bread of life, and break it down. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Luke 24:30, and it came to pass, as he sat at meal with them, He took bread and break it and he gave to them. So you see, take the breaking of bread is the literal piece of bread in this case. You understand that? Okay? Now the communion, the Lord's Supper, is not just the breaking of bread, but includes the cup. So when you say break bread and not include the cup, it is not communion. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's just go to 1 Corinthians 11. Let us look at it within context here. 1 Corinthians 11:26. Now, in this note here, let me just myself pick it up at this time. In this note here, it says here in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul rebukes the Corinthian believers, mentioning that they have gathered together in one place to observe the breaking of bread or communion. Again, I said this is wrong. Breaking of bread or communion. Breaking of bread is not communion. Okay? And it says that they mention that they've gathered together in one place to observe the communion and not to enact the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, which of course is not the same. He made two mistakes right here, which Jesus had with his disciple before he died. Paul tells the believer further that if they have to eat their meal, they should do so in their respective homes, and that the ordinance of communion has to be observed in a worthy manner and in the spirit of holiness, which of course is very true. You understand? So what the problem right here is, let us read 1 Corinthians here, 11. Now, in verse 17, first of all, we must remember the Corinthians, the Corinthian Christian. Oh, they are such a mess. They're so kind of, they're full of, oh, I don't know, you know, and Paul had to send two letters, long letters some more, to deal with all their carnalities. Do you understand that? The Corinthians lived in Corinth, and Corinth is a place, a city which is completely well, have a history of Hellenistic culture among them. You know, the Greek culture is very predominant. You see? So they are still, well, just like, you know, when the gospel came and the apostle, even when they start preaching, yeah, ministering, Peter still have the mind of the Jewish religious culture. Remember? You see, he still have that. So it takes a little while for people to change, for people to really come to the revelation and move away from all those things that holds a person, that put the person in bondage. In this case right here, look at what Paul said. Now in that I declare to you, I praise you not that you come together for the better, but for the worst. You came here, oh man, you know, communion is a time when you come together and examine yourself. Okay? To get better with the Lord, to get right with the Lord, but you came here and make yourself worse because of your behavior. What is their behavior? What was their behavior? For first of all, when you come together to the church, I heard that there is division among you. And I partly believe it, which is very true. Everyone has their own opinion. Not just about doctrine, perhaps their opinion about how the communion should be conducted and what should be partaken, how it should be done. Okay? Now there must be also heresy among you, that they which are reproved may be made manifest among you. When you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, this brother here, he says, he says that poison, that you're not to enact the Last Supper. Or to enact the Lord's Supper. That's the same word he used here. Lord's Supper, Last Supper. Not to enact. No, there's nothing about Paul talking about enactment. You are coming here, you know, first of all, you must understand this. That, the Lord's Supper, the word Lord's. Okay, let me show you here. Let me just bring this down. Okay? And if I can find it. Okay, now. The word Lord's Supper here. Take this word here. Can you see? Alright. The Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11:20. When you come together for the one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. The word Lord's here is the Greek word Kuriaku. Belonging to the Lord. Yahweh or Yahshua. Okay? And the supper, the word supper is from the Greek word diphnon. Now, first of all, let me just say this. You see, this word here, Lord's, it only appear twice in the Bible. Alright? Of course, if you do a concordance search, you type Lord's, you have many. But this word, Kuriakos, only appear twice in the Bible. The other one is Kurios. Okay? Which is a different meaning. And here you have Kuriakos belonging to the Lord. So this Lord's Supper belongs only to Him because of the significance. Here we have Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Lord's Day, it is exclusively the Lord's, pertaining only to Him. It is the day that belongs to Him when He comes. Remember, it is called the Lord's Day. Nobody else. It's His day. The Lord's Supper is His supper, not His last supper. The supper that He instituted. Do you understand? It's exclusive. It pertains to Him. It deals with Him. The Lord's Day deals with His coming. It deals with Him. So we need to understand words, not jump to the conclusion. So there are only two words, the Lord's Day and Lord's Supper. This word Lord, Kuriako, only appeared twice in the Bible. It's exclusively His. Not John's, not Paul's, you understand? Not Richard, not Lawrence, not Enoch's. Nobody's day, nobody's supper, but the Lord's supper. We come here. But we are not by the sponsor. You're not coming here to eat the Lord's supper. What are you doing? What were you doing? What He says right here. For in eating, everyone will take before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. You come here like what we say in Chinese, bo chai, bo chai, bo what? Bo chai, whatever. You know, we don't have the attitude of sharing at all. You bring here your food and whatever you eat like you are having a festival. And that is what actually is true behind this connotation or the word implied here. Is that these Corinthians are filled, you know, you... Well, there's a lot of Christians today, just like Catholic, many Protestants. They become Christian, but they still hold some old silly religious superstitions and culture, you know. This is their love feast. They are idols, some idol what God they worship is God Agapai. Their love feast. They bring it to the church and food and eat as having a feast. No! It is not a feast. The Lord's Supper is not a feast. Do you understand that? In the literal of eating. No. The Lord's Supper is a feast in the spiritual. Do you get it? It's a spiritual feasting. But you come here, you say you don't wait, you don't carry one for another. You get the point? Why does someone not carry one for another? Because we're going to share. They come here or somebody come here and they start doing, eating, whatever you want to do. I just know you come here for the worst thing in your life. You see, that's what Paul said, you better examine yourself. And he says further right now, what? Have you no house to eat? So if you want to eat and have your this feast, go stay home and eat it. And not gather in a place when we're supposed to have the Lord's Supper. You get the point? It's a serious occasion. But they did it. So, bosses, why don't you have house to eat in? Or you want to come and despise the church of God and shame them they have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I praise you not. But I receive of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He took the bread, he break it. That's the breaking of bread. One sense, literal, break a bread. But that's not communion. Because it includes the cup. So if you say breaking of bread is communion, you are wrong. You understand? Alright, he says, and after the same manner also he took the cup, which he has supped, saying, this cup is in the new, is a New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. You got it now? Huh? So communion is the bread and the cup. The bread is blessed, broken, which is Christ's body for you and me. The cup which is blessed is the blood of the New Testament, Christ's blood for you and me. You understand? And this is called the Lord's Supper. Denomination, some say, no, that's not. Others say that's a Passover. Whatever they want, it doesn't matter. It's a word we understand. We can use it and say, let's have communion with the Lord. Because the communion, of course, I'm communicating with you now. When you have fellowship with somebody, we're having communion. Spiritually. Not necessarily the bread and the cup. It's just a word to denote something. But you cannot call the communion breaking bread. It is not. Because there must be the wine or the cup. And the Lord's Supper is not the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper was his meal. He ate, washed the feet of the disciples, then he came back to the table. Then he instituted the Lord's Supper. So the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Supper are two different things. You understand that? Okay, let us go now. Preparation day here. Here we have, of course, the situation the cause for as when it deals with the communion as to preparation as to the day when Christ died, and so when did he actually go to this table? Alright, now watch the word here. Preparation day. Mark 15:42. And now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Okay? Remember that. The preparation day is the day before the Sabbath. Okay, now Luke 23:50. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said unto the Jew, behold your king. The preparation of Passover. So preparation day is the preparation for the Passover. Okay? Now this one is very clear. We all know that. Preparation, prepare what? Because the Passover is coming. They have to prepare. Right? Preparing for the Passover. Okay. John 19:31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Because the Sabbath day was an high day. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and data might be taken away. So because it was a preparation, and because the Sabbath is coming. Because 6 p.m. begins the Sabbath. Right? That day was the day of the preparation. You understand that? Okay? They prepared for the Passover, and the Passover happened when you take on that evening at 6 o'clock, it became the next day. The day is the Sabbath. Luke 22:1. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So now we have a term that's very confusing to a whole lot of imperial theologians have great debate. Way back. The Bible is very intriguing. It created a lot of debate and argument. The Bible is not easy for us to really understand, but there's always a way to understand it. You know, God, these are New Testament Greek language. Okay. And how it is translated in the English, the expression may not be correct. And they are just translating word for word, but the expression could be a problem. And now you have Luke 22:1, they say, the feast of the unleavened bread is also called the Passover. Huh? The feast of unleavened bread draw nigh, which is called the Passover. Kind of a little confusion, isn't it? Right. Alright. Now let us look a little bit more here. Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. What are they? Exodus 12:16. In the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work should be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Okay, the first day and the seventh day is a holy convocation. Alright, the first day and the seventh day is a Sabbath. No work. Numbers 28:16-22. In the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Yahweh. In the 15 days of this month is the feast. Okay? Let me just show you the chart. In case, you know, you still might not remember it well enough, just bring that up and here we are. Okay? Yahweh, this calendar, well, we only had the first 3 months. We don't worry about the others. Now, a lamb, this, do you find this in the Old Testament book of Leviticus? Moses was told by God to take a lamb on the 10th day. Okay? Alright? Can you see that? On the 10th day. Well, let me make it thicker so that, okay, here it is, the 10th day of the month of Abib. And keep the lamb until the 14th day. And on the 14th day, the lamb will be slain between the two evenings, between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. This is the day of the preparation when the lamb was prepared. Okay? So at 6 p.m. on this day begins the Sabbath. So 15 is a Sabbath. The first day, 7th day, 22, will be holy convocation. Now, when we count days, yet there's a big problem about counting days. When we say 7th day, the feast, right? Unleavened bread is 7th day, right? How do you count 7th day? From the 15th to 21 is 7th day. Is it not 7th day? That's what we all think, right? Now, let me ask you in question. When I say, today is the first of the month, on the 3rd day is my birthday. So what day is my birthday? The 3rd? Okay, let's think about it. This is how word problem, the way people describe. Today is the first day of the month. After 3 days is my birthday. Which one? The 4th? Huh? Today is the 1st. After 3 days is my birthday. What day is that? The 4th. Okay? Today is the 1st. The 3rd day is my birthday. It's the first of the month. After the third day is my birthday. 3? You see, there is a problem about when the Bible says he will rise after the 3 days. On the 3rd day he will rise. You can read that in the New Testament, huh? After 3 days he will rise. On the 3rd day he will rise. And so, how does English, and that's why I say, you know, next Sunday. People say next Sunday, which Sunday? Today I said, okay, next Saturday. I said, remember we discussed this before. Next Saturday, this coming Saturday, or one more Saturday. You see, problem is that, you know, language is such that it's not easily made known, but the expression is that we need to find how this thing has arrived, why people speak the way they speak. Okay, now, anyway, this is the preparation day. Okay, at evening at 6 o'clock, will be the Sabbath. This is the 15th day of the month. Okay, so this day, the first day, to the seventh day, 22nd, is our Sabbath days. Holy Convocation Day. So from the 15th onward, which is actually 14, 6 p.m., Sabbath begin. But the Bible says on the 15th, it's the Sabbath. Let's begin the unleavened bread. So the Passover table being prepared, they will eat at 6 p.m. So the whole table, there's no leavening. The children will be found leaven even in the house, remember? Leaven are not supposed to be found in the house. See, so it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread for one whole week. So they must eat food, not bread, not just bread. That's what we know as bread. Bread means food, no food that is leavened. You cannot have yogurt. You understand that? You see? Or anything that's sour by fermentation, not allowed. You understand? You see? So, we really look at this, and it could be really a problem of how the words are used. Alright, let me just go back to this now. Numbers, the 14th day of the first month, Numbers 28:16. In the 14th day of the first month is the Passover Yahweh. In the 15th day of this month is the feast, 7 days shall be unleavened bread be eaten. Got it? Alright. In the first day, the holy convocation, you shall do no manner of sabbath day, but you shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto Yahweh, 2 young bullocks, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year, and they shall be unto you without blemish. And your meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil. 3 tenth deals shall you offer for a bullock, and 2 tenth deals for a ram. Verse 21 is several 10 deals shall thou offer for every lamb throughout the 7 lambs. And verse 22 say, and 1 goat for the sin offering to make an atonement for you. That's the scapegoat. Yeah? So Christ was the lamb, the goat that was slain for a sin offering. You understand that? Okay, now. So, let us look into this little chart here. Now, here is a chart, of course. Let me just bring that up, put it up a little bit. Okay. We have the 14th of Abib, right here. This is the 15th of Abib, and this is the 16th, and 17th, and so on. Now, here is the overlapping days. This is our day, our time, on the top. Right? Okay? So, now, did Jesus partook the Last Supper? There has always been an interesting question. There have been a lot of debate over this. When did Jesus partake his Last Supper? And did he partake the Passover meal? Now, some people do believe that Jesus Christ actually partook the Passover meal. The question is that if he partook the Passover meal, then he could not be slain on that day. He could not have died on that day. You got it? Just look here. The Bible said that the 14th of Abib, the lamb must be slain. Alright? Between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., the lamb must be slain. Jesus died at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Is that right? 6 hours. Remember, he hung upon the cross. Then at 3 p.m., he expired. That is called the two evenings. 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., they are called the two evenings. Between the two evenings. A 3-hour period where the lamb must be slain and then roasted. Good enough time for 3 hours. Everything else is prepared on the table already. But the lamb must be slain between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Because that is the most important thing in the Passover meal. Not the bread on the table. Huh? Not the herbs on the table. But the lamb itself. So now, the question, therefore this is the situation. When did Jesus partake his Last Supper? Did he partake it on the 14th day or was it on the 13th day? So now, let us read some of these verses here. Then came the day, Luke 22:7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Now, here we have a little confusion because if we take all these various verses, you will have a hard time trying to understand. Alright? Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Now, then came the day of the unleavened bread. The day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. The unleavened bread starts on the 15th. Right? But the Passover should be killed on the 14th. Yet it is called unleavened bread because at 6 p.m. on the 14th is also the beginning of unleavened bread. Are you following me? I hope it's not too difficult to understand. 14th is the day of preparation to slay the Passover between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. 6 p.m. begins the Sabbath, which is known as the 15th. So the Bible is telling you this. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Then came the day, but yet it's another day ahead. Should be, huh? If we reckon days in our time. And this big one problem is because the Roman time and the Hebrew times are not the same. Okay? And in verse 8 he says, and he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. You know? So now it's kind of strange here, isn't it? So we are free, if we take this verse by itself, think about it, it's the 14th of Abib. Yes? Go and prepare the Passover that we may eat. So it is the very day itself. Isn't it so? But it doesn't fit scripture, you know. Because we know that Jesus was arrested one day before. In the garden, throughout the night he was judged. In the morning, when people are preparing for the Passover, this one could not have been literally saying on that day. The word then came the day, give us the appearance in our language, then came the day. Today. Isn't it? Then came the day as if it is today. But let us look at the other scripture here again. Luke 22, verse 11 to 15. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master say unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciple? And he shall show you a large room furnished. Then make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Okay, here we are on a problem. See, isn't it? Look at it carefully here. You know, the disciples went and finished the room, right? And make ready the Passover, right? Verse 14, and here I think this conjunction is a big problem, you know. Everything and as it is connected. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12. As if the table has been prepared for the Passover meal, right? And when the hour has come, they sat down. That gives us the impression. Hey, theologian out there, don't tell me and Kai. Like one good mental message, believers who preach the iniquity, mystery iniquity, believe in the fourfold ministry. Pastor and teacher. So, Kai, teacher means it's the same. Pastor and teacher is the same, onefold. That's only fourfold ministry. I beg your pardon. If you do that, your Bible, you will have a problem understanding. And God is not going to give you all this semantic. You go and train out there in semantic. The end means what? I'm here, and then I walk there. You know, that kind of thing, see? From here to there, and disjoint here to there. So I'm no longer here, but I'm there. That the Bible is not for you to go around playing with semantic. Do you understand that? And by looking at the next verse, he will tell you that something is wrong. And it's not the way to be interpreted like that. Verse 15 said, and he said unto them, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffered. What? You think that, well, yeah, Jesus is pointing to this Passover meal on the table. Was he really? Let us look further into other verses. Mark 14:12. Alright? And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, the first day of the unleavened bread, of course that is actually not really the first day. But again, as I said, the confusion arises because the Hebrew and the Gentile calendar, Roman calendar, merged by 6 hours. Do you understand? Hebrew calendar started at 6 p.m. Hebrew time written at 6 p.m. You understand what I'm saying? Now today it's the 22nd. Is that right? Huh? Now, when does 23rd start for us? Midnight. But 23rd start for the Jew at 6 p.m. tonight. So they are 6 hours ahead of us. So because they are 6 hours ahead of us, so now when you are reading the Bible here, sometimes it's today, which day now? Huh? Because you see in verse Mark 14:12, and the first day of the unleavened bread. First day of unleavened bread is the 15th. The Bible tells us that. But now he said the first day of unleavened bread when they killed the Passover. The Passover is not killed on the 14th, on the 15th evening, but on the 14th evening. Which of course begins also the 15th as the first day of unleavened bread. Lo and behold, interesting. You know, I don't know why God reckoned time at 6 p.m. onward when the sun set, everybody go to sleep for rejuvenation and get up in the morning. And then we Roman calendar, we Gentiles, people think it's better to start at midnight. Oh, of all things, why don't start at midnight? Yeah? I don't understand, why do we start time at midnight? Why don't we start time at 6 a.m. in the morning? Would be better, isn't it? After all, it makes sense, what? The sunrise, we start time in the morning. No. The Gentiles are stupid, like the Romans are stupid, starting in the middle of the night. You know, God started at 6 p.m. Even in the morning of the first day, you know, you must sleep first to gain the energy to start your work. That makes more sense. So, 6 p.m. is evening time. Huh? You eat your meal, your main meal that is, and you go to bed. And go to sleep. You get the point? See what I mean? But here we have this problem, okay? So, you say when Mark 14:12, and the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples asked him, what were you that we go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? So now first day already, if it is first day of unleavened bread is a 15, then it's already gone. The Passover has been gone. If it is a 14th day, now you appear that it's a 14th day. Huh? Okay. Alright. Let's go down there. John 13:1. Now, the only answer that we can ever find it easy is that John 13:1. In all confusion, to try to solve the mystery, don't look for the complicated clue. I don't know how you people solve mystery anyway. Of all the clues you're looking for, look for the one that's simple to understand and grab it. Okay, John 13:1. Now before the feast, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world, unto the Father. Having loved his own which was in the world, he loved them unto the end. Before the feast of the Passover. Now, 2 days before the feast of the Passover, Jesus was at Bethany. And living in he stayed with a man called Simon, who was a leper, whom he healed. He stayed with the brother there. 2 days before the Passover starts. So now, when this was written of John 13:1, it could be on that particular day. Now, before the feast of the Passover. You understand? Okay? Or it could be a day before the Passover starts. So it's either on the 12th or the 13th. 2 days before the Passover. But we know it cannot be the 12th because it had to be the 13th because event in the Bible show us that he was arrested on the 13th. Right? Proceeding through midnight to be judged by Herod, Pontius Pilate, remember? Then he was brought to Golgotha Hill at 9 a.m. on the 14th. Hanging there from 9 to 3 p.m. Then the Passover is coming, so they take down the body. Do you understand that? So now you hear the word, and supper being ended. What supper is that? Certainly it's not talking about the Passover supper, because it's now before the feast of the Passover. This is before the feast of the Passover. So this cannot be the Passover table. Right? So he must have sat down there and eat with them. A meal. If this table here is a Passover table, why wasn't the lamb mentioned? All they had thought was just a conversation. And they just took the bread and a cup. Huh? There should be somehow, if it was a Passover meal, then the lamb must somehow be mentioned. Or the bitter herbs on the table. You understand this? So now, the supper being ended, people jumped to the conclusion that this was the communion already finished. Then Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Right? You understand that? That's how they jumped to it. Now, let's go to this one word here. Let me just go all the way up here to that verse, to that word here. Now, here the Lord's Supper. Now this brother asks a question. When do we have communion? Is it in the morning, or afternoon, or evening? First paragraph he said, there is no mention anywhere in the Bible that communion should be observed only in the evening. But still some churches make a doctrine that communion should be observed only in the evening. This has no scriptural basis, which of course is wrong. Then he said this, we can observe communion in the morning, or afternoon, or evening. The important thing is that when we observe the communion, we remember the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and we observe it in the spirit of holiness and in a worthy manner. I give below an incident which took place among the Moravian church believer in the 18th century. On August the 13th, 1727, when the Moravians were having a communion service in Berstorf, Germany, the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit in a mighty way. He says, referred History of the Christian Church by W. Walker, page 451. Then again, A. W. Tozer in his book, When He Is Come, page 12, mentions, the history of the Moravian tells us how the Holy Ghost came upon the movement one October morning in 1727. They were having communion. That's in the morning. They went out joyful from that place, scarcely knowing whether they were in heaven or on earth or had died and already gone to heaven. That is his quote. Then he said this in the next paragraph. The very fact that they, the Moravians, received the Holy Ghost when they were having communion in the morning clearly shows that if they had done something unscriptural, the Holy Spirit would have convicted them and pointed out to them. Is that true? You say here, as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, we can conclude that by observing communion in the morning, they, the Moravians, had not done anything against the scriptures. That is a bad example. You know why? Why would God convict them that they were done wrong? Martin Luther was used of God. Huh? He was a man who spoke in tongues also. When he came up in the Catholic Church, did he realize that the spring of water was wrong? Did the Holy Spirit convict him on that? No. Did the Holy Spirit convict to him that the Trinity was wrong? No. You see, God works when He restores the truth from time to time. He doesn't show everybody everything at one time. You know why? Because we are finite. How could our mind comprehend all these things at one shot? Absolutely, so my people said, Brother Abraham knows everything, which is of a full of nonsense. Which is foolishness to say things like that. Paul knew everything, which is not true. If Paul knew everything, then how come he did not have what John had? Revelation is progressive. Right? Does not mean that the Moravian, having come in the morning, and they were blessed by God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they don't even know whether they're in heaven or hell or whatever, does not mean that the communion taken in the morning was correct. Right? You understand what I'm saying? What if God convicted John Wesley, Martin Luther, that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ should be the way, even though they're all anointed of God and filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. And you don't tell me just because someone out there heal the sick, raise the dead, do miracles, that he's a man of God. You know what Jesus said in Matthew? I never knew you. You understand this? God will correct things in his own time. Right? My people must be willing to learn. But moreover, in one way or another, they are still trapped in traditions. That's the reason why Luther was trapped in tradition. John Wesley came along again after he's gone. John Wesley did with an open mind what the Lord showed him. But God is always showing things slowly. God is never in a hurry. The problem is that we are in a hurry. Hey, am I not right? In Singapore especially, we are always in a hurry. Why is the bus late? Right? And so on and so on. So it's not because of this. Can the communion be taken in the morning? If you want to believe it's taken in the morning, go ahead. If you think that is right. If you want to take it in the afternoon, if you think that is right, go ahead. Let me show you the word here. You see the word supper. The Lord's Supper. This word supper came from the Greek word. Diphnon. You know what it means? It actually, a word means the main meal. Usually taken in the evening. Most of us take our main meal in the evening. And if you go to a restaurant, buffet, lunch, buffet, $21. Dinner buffet, $36. You are getting my point. Lunch, not so big. Dinner, bigger. Breakfast, smaller. Breakfast buffet, you have, right? Cheap, $12. Lunch, $21. Dinner, $36. Am I not right? This word in Greek itself says supper is always the main meal. And it's a main meal that usually taken in the evening, never in the morning. And never in the afternoon. You look at India. You go to India, you go to many of these places, you know, even the Americans. They always have their meal after 6 p.m. a huge big meal. So don't come and tell me that you can take it in, you know, of course the word supper means meal. For us, to us, our word connotation is supper means 9, 10 o'clock after our dinner. You know, I want to take supper before I sleep. That's not what it means. The word supper comes from the word sup. Sup means to eat. But this word supper comes the Greek word. We cannot translate in the English word, just using the word supper. But it comes from the Greek word, diphnon, which means to say it's the main meal usually taken in the evening. That's why it's called the Lord's Supper. It is in the evening. And why the evening? Obviously, because evening time is the time when God came down and talked to Adam and Eve and had fellowship with them. Right. And why is the marriage in the evening time? Right. Because that's the main meal. Nobody want to get married in the morning at 6, 7 o'clock and have breakfast. They want to eat and then go to sleep and they grow a big tummy, you know. That's what they want. That's the sense of it. That's why it's always evening, evening, evening time, evening meal, evening marriage. Never fear. Therefore, be careful what that pertains to. You understand that? Okay, in closing right here, let me just bring that down here. Christ our pastor. Okay, before we go there, let us look into this chart here. So now looking at this chart, obviously, that Christ could only take His Last Supper on the 13th evening when He sat down. I believe that 2 days before the Passover, when He was in Bethany, He must have came down on the 13th. Huh? And sat down and eat the Passover. You see, I don't know what time. I'm just saying that any time around 6 p.m. Remember the disciples said, why do we have to furnish to you for you to eat? Right? So it has to be in Jerusalem. Go and find a place. So the disciples could have furnished it quickly, just a table only. Certainly you cannot roast the lamb. And Jesus went and just sat down with the disciple. The Bible did not tell us that it was a Passover meal. No. It just said that He sat down and eat. You understand? And so when He sat down and eat, this was the period of time. We already have it, of course, our Thursday evening. But it was approaching the 14th already. If they sit down at 6 p.m. and eat. Because this 14th is the day of preparation. And the day of preparation was drawn nigh. And the day was the day of preparation if you take at 6 p.m. anyway. And the language is really a problem, I can tell you that. Let us always say, take what makes sense to us and understand it. Okay? So, 14th is the day of preparation. And we know the Bible tells us that what we have, the 14th of Abib. Remember? The 14th of Abib is the time at evening the lamb must be slain. The feast is the only final authority, we will say, as to when Jesus actually died, when He resurrected. It's the final authority when Jesus Christ did actually institute the Lord's Supper. Huh? Some people say that Jesus Christ, well, He took the Passover. Then when? They took it on the 13th, they say. How could you slay the lamb on the 13th and eat it? There is a law in the Old Testament that God gave to Moses. For those who could not perform to keep the feast because they are on overseas trip or because they are very sick or whatever it is, they can perform it later. You understand that? But you cannot have a lamb slain on the 13th and eat it on the 13th. You can't. You can't do that. Oh yes, I know some believer in anti-message, well known believer tried to squeeze that Jesus took it and come up with some so-called reasoning which you don't even find in history in the Bible. Do you understand? So 14th is the Passover, 15th is the first day of unleavened bread, 16th is the day of, remember your feast? What is that? Wave offering. The sheaf wait before the Lord. Huh? The first fruit of the sheaf of the field. So your death, your Sabbath, Jesus Christ says, He's the Passover lamb. He is the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He slept in the Sabbath. He rested on the Sabbath day. And then He resurrected to be with before the Lord. Don't touch me yet. I have not yet presented myself before the Father. Remember? If you don't, this is God's feast. Jehovah's, Yahweh's feast. It is His joy. If He said this, He has intention to fulfill it, the way that it is given. Remember, he told Moses, build the tabernacle according to the pattern that I show you on the mountain. Don't deviate from it. Now, do you think God would deviate from his own feast? He can't. Of course, the other problem is the word high day. We read earlier in the book of John. High day. What is this high day? The problem when people find the word high day, they think that this is another what we call a Sabbath. Okay, let me find the word here in John. John 19:31. The Jew that was because it was preparation, the body should not be made upon the cross on the Passover day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. So now, those who want to make Jesus Christ, to fulfill. You know what, remember Jesus said this. These adulterers of wicked generous seek for a sign. There will be no sign given them except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the hearts of the earth 3 days and three nights. So because the word, as I said before, using the word 3 days and three nights, we have these people coming out, 3 days, three nights, 3 days, 12 hours a day, times 12, 36 hours, three nights, 12 hours times 3, 36 hours of darkness, mixed together, 72 hours. Huh? So what did they do? They force-fed it. That Jesus Christ died on a Wednesday. Okay? You see Wednesday? They try to make Daniel 9:27 fulfilled. In the midst of the week. So Wednesday is the middle of the week. See? They do that. Some say, no, he died on Thursday. So those who say he died on Wednesday, he resurrected on Saturday evening. Those who say he died on a Thursday, he resurrected on a Sunday morning. So they were to shift. Why? Then they used this high day. Oh, the high day. This Sabbath was high day. Oh, that means there are two Sabbaths in a week. The Bible don't teach that. You know, those who say that, okay, Wednesday he died, Thursday was the Sabbath. It was a high Sabbath. Saturday then was a weekly Sabbath. Those who make him down Thursday, Friday was a high Sabbath. Saturday was a weekly Sabbath. And so on. The word high day means what? It was an important day, a festival day, which come to pass in the evening when the lamb was slain, it is coming to Sabbath. It means 15. And it was a very important Sabbath, not like all the other Sabbath. Do you understand that? Huh? Do you remember? It was called High Day. It is a festival day that falls on the Sabbath. That's why it was called a High Sabbath. An important festival had taken place. Now, what is the most important festivals in the Chinese calendar? Huh? Spring. What do you call that in Chinese? New Year. What do you call that in Chinese? Qing what? Chunjie. Everybody! Before the New Year, everybody sweep their home, paint their home, remove every dirt out of their home. Other days, nobody care. Is that right? Am I not correct? You see, to the Chinese, yes, is that. What is the most important festival in America? Not Christmas, you know. What? Not New Year Eve, you know. They are Thanksgiving. What is the most important day to young couple in courtship? Valentine's Day. And things like that. But in the Jew, the most important festival is the Passover. Remember, this was the time that was the first festival that got instituted. When they were in Egypt, remember? Yes. God said to Moses, tell the people to take the lamb for every household, huh? And slain it, because I'm going to pass over. Right? And then when they got out, God gave Moses this new calendar. That's why it began on the first month of the year. Abib! And then God said, keep the lamb from the 10th to the 14th. And that's why it's so important for this festival. That's why it's called a high day. A high Sabbath. No, come on. We have all this theologian, and we have people that simply follow it. But nevertheless, let's go on to the last part here. The last verse. First Corinthians 5, 7. The verse 8. Cleanse out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Remember, we're talking about the Passover. And we're talking about the feast. We're talking about the leavened bread. We had the unleavened bread and so on. So Paul says, cleanse out therefore the old leaven. From within you. Not your house. Eh? Don't go home and take your yogurt out of your fridge. Okay, not talking about that. Alright? Or your vinegar, whatever. And he said, when Jesus knew, okay, sorry, cleanse out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, according as you are unleavened. For also our Passover for us was sacrificed, Christ, so that we may keep the feast. What feast? Passover feast? No. So that we may keep the feast, not with all leaven, nor with the leaven of evil and wickedness, but with the unleavened food of sincerity and truth. And there's only one feast that Paul is talking about in here, in Corinth. It's the keeping of this feast. Let us keep the feast. This. He is our Passover. God is our Passover. I mean, Christ is our Passover. He said, I am the bread of life. Sent down from heaven. Unleavened bread. It's not corrupt. Is that right? And here's our Passover. Didn't Paul say that? For also our Passover was sacrificed for us. You understand? So all this thing by keeping the feast. Hey, therefore we are coming here to the church of God not to eat the Lord's Passover. Literally, not to have what the Jews or the Corinthian church were doing. Coming here like we are eating a physical food. We are coming here to keep the feast of our Lord's Passover. The feast of that Passover which is a spiritual, gathering together the saints of God over the Word of God. That's why we break bread, spiritually break bread during the communion, that we might understand that the bread was broken for us was the body of Christ. Okay? Broken for you and me. We come and take the cup. The cup of the covenant God Jesus instituted for us. Huh? In the New Testament, in His blood. To what we partake of, we may enter life. This is the feast that we take. But behind all that which you take, in these two elements of the bread and the cup of the wine, it signifies the spiritual things that happened on that day that Jesus was crucified. On the day that Jesus Christ went through the event He went through before He died. Being our Passover lamb and also the bread of life that came from heaven. I hope that you all understand now. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you Lord for your grace. Thank you Father for revelation and understanding. We know Lord as we enter into Thy Word, your Spirit Lord help us, guide us to understand more of what you have for us, O Lord. As we grow in the grace of Jesus, as we grow in the Father, in the strength of the faith that you have given us, we pray, Father, not only for us here in our fellowship, Lord, but we pray for all those others that are out there that you hold in your hand. We pray, Father, that they too may grow in Thy grace and in the love, O Lord, that you so strongly, O Lord, have given to us in the agape, that we may grow unto the day when we see Christ face to face. Father, we give all the praise and glory. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord.